Every time someone has seen the light, there's a little more light and a little less darkness. Every time someone has seen the light, there's a little more light.
And good morning, folks, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. We're coming to you live this morning, July 11th, 2026. We say welcome to you folks out there. We'll be right back right after this song.
I was born on the wings of an eagle in this one-time wonderful land of free people. I was planted right straight down on a piece of sanctified ground that was written about in my holy Bible. I was raised in the backwoods of Virginia. I took my first two steps and discovered Carolina. I was a natural freeborn child growing up green and wild. I was one of the original sons of liberty, y'all. I'm a free man, nobody better tread on me. Nobody better try to say that I'm his boy, cause I'm a son of liberty. Yes, I'm a free man, and I'm here to make some history. I won't compromise with tyranny. I won't tolerate attacks upon my cup of tea, cause I'm a free man. Nobody better tread on me. I said nobody better tread on me. I learned to fight in the War of Independence, where I defended the rights of all of my descendants. I finally earned my wings to fly on that famous 4th of July, when I proved to the world that I could make a difference. Was temporarily defeated in the Southland when them federal boys invaded God's grace land. And since the war between the states, they tried to keep us all federal slaves. But you know me and the Lord in the South, we're gonna rise again, friend. Cause I'm a free man, nobody better tread on me. Nobody better try to say that I'm his boy, cause I'm a son of liberty. Yes, I'm a free man, and I'm here to make some history. I won't compromise with tyranny. I won't tolerate no statutory slavery, cause I'm a free man. Nobody better tread on me. Nobody better tread on me. It's time we see that the enemy's within us. And even right today, they're trying to Washington deceive us. They thought they had us all surrounded up in that there Montana township. But all they did was create a couple more million of us. Yes, I'm a free man. Nobody better tread on me. Nobody better try to say that I'm his boy, cause I'm a son of liberty. Yes, I'm a free man, and I'm here to make some history. I ain't liable for, no subject to, no regulated by internal revenue, cause I'm a free man. Nobody better tread on me, because the Lord, you see, he set me free. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty to be a free man. Nobody better tread on me. I said nobody better tread on me.
And we're back, and you're listening to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers here on the SFAWBN. And good morning, folks. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
And Tim, would you start us off with a word of prayer this morning, please, sir?
Certainly would. Our dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning, and Lord, we thank you for another day and another opportunity to serve you. We know that each day is a gift. Lord, we just pray that in some small way that we would make a difference for your kingdom's sake, and that you would just extend your strong arm to us, Lord. Put words in our mouth, wake up people's thought processes in mind to enlighten their hearts and their souls, Lord, light their path, and maybe we can play a small part in that. Watch over our families and our people, wherever they may be, Lord. Extend your protection to them that they might walk boldly in the light of your faith and grace and power. I pray, Lord, that you would just continue to cast confusion into your enemy for your name's sake, Lord, and that we would receive the benefits of our salvation in all of the good things that we have, Lord, and that we might thank you and extol the virtues of our mighty God. I pray now that you just be with us and help us today and help us in the coming weeks. And we thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen.
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 Well, there is an awful lot to talk about this morning. Where do you guys like to start off this morning?
Turkey. No, it's not Thanksgiving.
I was going to say, what did you call me to?
Pretty sad when turkey's got more sense than some more forward-thinking nations, huh?
Exactly. That's the first thing that I thought. It's like, wow, how does turkey have some of this stuff figured out and the rest of the world don't?
Yeah. First we should say it's a ship called the Scarlet Lady that was going to dock in Turkey for an outing. Turkey said, hey, wait a minute. We don't want all the gays in here. Go somewhere else. So, wasn't that interesting? I don't know. What did it cost? It cost them several million dollars, supposedly, to turn away in tourism, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that, I just think it's interesting. That's all. It's like they got more sense than a lot of us do. And I'm fed up in general with the, lame live and let live attitude toward this homosexual agenda. I mean, that's caused us problems all the way across every aspect of our society, hasn't it?
Yeah. So, well, and is what Tim's talking about is the headline that the one that I read was Turkey stops gay crews from docking in the country. And it says it's out of the question. And I guess they was supposed to happen on, I think, the 7th. They were supposed to dock. And I mean, it was a gay only cruise ship that wanted to dock there. And they just said no. So I thought that was, I mean, absolutely. That's great. I mean, you know, and you think about, you think about an all gay cruise ship. I mean, I don't even like to think about it, but, do you think about the disease and the filth that is, on there? And Turkey had enough sense to say no. So yeah, good for them.
Well, I think that's, Turkey's a major nation, you know, obviously it's, I think we like to think of Turkey as a Middle Eastern backwards nation, and it really isn't. It's a weird European kind of Arab nation. It's a lot like what Syria was. It's a very westernized nation, but they're saying no to the gay agenda publicly. I like that. I mean, I'll give them credit. They just said no. And from my understanding on it, of reading a little more into it, whatever this cruise line, I think it's Virgin Atlantic Cruise or something like that, they told them, if you keep coming, our Navy will meet you at the port to turn you around. Like, they were serious. They were going to turn them around if they tried to dock. And the interesting part of that is they turned around and headed toward Egypt. And guess what Egypt did? They said the same thing. You're not welcome in Egypt either.
Wow.
So you had two pretty major countries in that region turning this gay cruise ship around. I think it's great. I tried to find out where they ended up. I don't know if they're still drifting at sea. I don't know where they're at, but I know where they're going.
I heard that they went ahead and forwarded their next port to Greece. They were.
Oh,
and
go figure.
Yeah, the Greeks were going to open arms, you know, so, I mean, which, it seems like, you know, we look at, to me, it's just astounding. There was a time when Greece was like a major power in the world. Now it's kind of like a third world whatever, and it's like, could yep. this be related, you know, when we look at it? So, I applaud both Egypt and, I mean, when I look at some of these countries, and, you know, I know we catch a lot of flack sometimes because we talk about things like racial and religious divides between countries and between peoples, but, you know, there was a time when Portugal was a world power. I always like to use mm-hmm. it as an example. I mean, it was such a world power that it funded and promoted Columbus's expedition and multiple other expeditions as well to the New World back at the time. I mean, they were affluent and influential and had big treasuries. And when was the last time you heard anything major about Portugal? You know, it's just some.
That's right.
Yeah. It's nothing. This is what happens when you embrace this one world, multi everything dialectic. You know, you fade into a nothing. So, I mean, to me, that's just an example of that. And these countries are saying, no, we're not going to go quiet. We don't want you here. And if that hurts your feelers, why, too bad. You know, so. And I mean, they're giving up some coin on the deal too, obviously. So it's like, that's okay. Money's not everything.
It's a little bit off topic, but just while we're talking about Turkey, did you guys see that Trump was in Turkey this week? While all this was going down, President Trump was actually in Turkey meeting with Erdogan, their president there in Turkey. And I guess the reason I'm bringing that up is, you know, there's other world leaders that would be afraid of backlash of this kind of stuff, of meeting with the U.S. president, and they didn't really care. And I think they ended up, I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but I think they ended up entering into an agreement with the United States where Turkey is going to start buying our F-35 stealth fighters. Did y'all see that?
No.
I did not, no.
So yeah, that came across yesterday kind of late, but I guess they at least have a handshake deal, or they may have even inked a deal with the United States that they're going to start rolling in the F-35 stealth fighters. And I'll tell you who immediately jumped out against this was Benjamin Netanyahu in Israel. They're very upset that the United States would outfit Turkey with these modern state-of-the-art fighter jets. I don't know. I just thought that was interesting. I don't have the quote in front of me, but Netanyahu was talking about, you know, Turkey is illegally occupying part of Cyprus and all of this. He names off two or three countries, and I'm like, well, that's the pot calling the kettle a Jew. I mean, that, you know, you're over here occupying like most of the Middle East illegally, and you're upset that Turkey has got a couple of islands they say is theirs. But anyways, I just thought that was interesting and something we should watch.
Yeah. You know, like Palestine and Syria and Lebanon, and yeah, the list goes on.
So my question, do we have, are we currently producing F-35s, or do we have a surplus of them, or?
So my understanding on it was the deal was they're not buying surplus ones. They're actually, the United States is giving permission, and you'll have to forgive me. I don't know if it's Lockheed or which company produces the F-35, but the United States gave permission for the country of Turkey to buy directly from the manufacturer.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, that's my understanding. I guess I don't pretend to know so much about the defense apparatus, but I guess the United States government has to give permission to these private companies of who they sell to. And it sounds like that's what happened, that they were going to be allowed to do that.
It's really... there's a whole bunch of things here, and I know we're going to talk about some of this stuff, other weapons and stuff here in a little bit, but it's really strange to me that we are way behind schedule on production of a whole bunch of things, and they're licensing and allowing all this kind of stuff, because that's certainly not going to strengthen our position as far as production or anything else goes. I find this all a little bit, it's just odd. I mean, what's the point?
You're reading my mind, Tim. No, you're reading my mind. That's, there's a lot of this stuff that's coming down, and I mean, we can go ahead and talk about it, but that's, you know, the United States is going to let, I guess this week as well, the United States granted permission to Ukraine to start producing Patriot defense missiles. And Patriot defense missiles are the intercept missiles that take other missiles and drones and that sort of thing out of the sky. So we're allowing them now to start getting the technology and the infrastructure to start building Patriot missiles. And reading into that, it sounds like those American companies that have this tech that produce these, they're just going to start producing them inside the Ukraine. Well, for every missile battery, Patriot missile battery that's produced inside of the Ukraine, it seems like that's one that's not being produced for United States defense. And as Trump said in this one news story I was reading, we're no longer going to give our Patriot missiles to the Ukraine because we're so far behind we can't protect ourselves. That just seems very counterproductive. If you're going to start allowing the Ukraine to use our technology and our American companies to start building their own, I don't know, that doesn't make sense to me. I think that was kind of the point you were trying to make, Tim, is why on earth would we allow the Ukraine to start using our resources to build? It doesn't matter if they're being built there or being built here. They're still not being used for American purposes. I don't know.
Yeah, and personnel. I mean, it requires trained personnel to build them. And the other thing is, yep. is if we learn, I was sitting here thinking about that, and I was like, yeah, I think the Germans and the Swedes already figured that out over the chainsaw deal. You know, they were going to move all the chainsaw production to China because it was so much cheaper and they could control it. And then they decided, the quality control is just not there. We're going to move it back. And the Chinese said, well, it didn't matter. We bought the factories and we got the tech and now everybody's trained. We'll build whatever we want. You guys can lump it. You know, so they created their own. It's like, well, we're not going to shoot ourselves in the right foot. We'll shoot ourselves in the left foot. You know, I see this as this is a bad move. That's my opinion. I just, you know.
Well, and I'm going to jump on there just because I like chainsaws. So I'm gonna jump on and say I see the exact same thing happening. It's funny, Tim, because we're on the same wavelength on this. So there's a company out there called Holt Forma, and that is a red Chinese company. And what Holt Forma does is like what Tim was saying. You had Husqvarna and Steel that kind of spun up some factory type situations in China. And then decided this isn't good. We're going to go back to the way it was. Well, the Chinese just took all of the tech. They took all the tooling. They took all of the processes. And they started this Holt Forma company. And they have flooded the market with cheap chainsaws. And it's hurt the business of Steel and Husqvarna. Not to where they're in trouble, but there's alternatives out there now. And that market share has been divided. It has been divided by their own greed. And the Chinese are capitalized on it and running with it. And, I mean, you can buy the equivalent, and I'm just going to throw this out there, of, you know, like a Husqvarna 562 or 572 chainsaw. You can buy, you know, that's a $1,500 chainsaw. You can buy the Holt Forma for $400 or $500. And more and more guys are going that way where there's even, I mean, and you know this, Tim, it's interchangeable parts. I mean, it runs just like the Husqvarna. Well, we know that the Ukrainians are flooding the world with drones right now that they're building, that they're flooding the Latin American market. They're flooding the Middle Eastern market. Well, what do you think is going to happen when they start getting the tech to build Patriot missile batteries? Well, they're no longer going to use the American companies. they're just going to start making these and sending them all across the world just because of greed and avarice. They're going to flood the market with what only the United States has right now. This is all we, you know, we're the only country that produces this. And it's incredibly effective, proven anti-missile technology over the last 30 years. And we're giving the keys to the castle to these freaking Ukrainians that are going to do nothing but replicate it and send it out all across the world. Not a good idea. Terrible idea.
It's a European beachhead. And then I also seen seen an article where the Germans are, what, they're going to give them, I guess they're going to be able to buy Tomahawks or something.
Yeah.
Kind of the same scenario. This is a really major package deal over there on a beachhead in Europe. I mean, basically allowing this to go on. I mean, you know, we want to talk about embargoes and about sanctions and everything else, but it's like, oh, well, let's just turn them loose with all this. You know, that's fine. No problem there. So I don't see this working out well in statecraft or in, future negotiations. It's kind of like you said, the keys to the castle or the keys to the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, this is a power play that is being, it's diluting power from us and reassigning it to bad actors in some cases. I mean, my opinion of Germany in recent times, as far as their leadership goes, the people I admire and appreciate, but when we look at some of the leadership and the EU positions of Germany, I'm not impressed with that either. So to me, it's like, I think we're, I'm not so sure we're not shooting ourselves in both feet here, if you want to get down to it.
Not to mention, Tim, you know, we used an incredible amount of Tomahawk missiles in this last dust up with Iran, and we probably need to spend the next year or so replenishing our own stores of these Tomahawk missiles. You know, why would we promise future production to Germany? That's something that we need to be taking care of our house first. It's kind of like what we're talking about with the Patriot missiles. Of you have Trump coming out and saying we're almost out of them, but we're going to allow these companies to do business with the Ukraine. Well, we had generals, we had admirals coming out and saying our Tomahawk supplies are short and they're not being effective in Iran. Why would we promise something that we already have very few of to a foreign nation? We probably need to replenish our own stockpile first. So that's another thing to consider.
Hold on,
my thought is we will give Tomahawk missiles to these guys over here across the pond, but you want to take AR-15s away from the good citizens of America. That seems like complete ludicrous.
Yeah. There's definitely a schism, right?
We're gonna take your guns away, and you can't have a forced reset trigger. You can't have an AR-15. You can't have this. You can't have more than a 15-round mag or a 10-round mag in some states. But we're gonna give missiles and all our technology over here to these guys, and it's like, insanity. It's ridiculous.
Absolutely, yeah. The most basic defense you might have, we're going to grab that, but we'll give them all this high tech. Yeah. No slingshots, no nothing, you know. They really are. Well, and I thought, I mean, this ties in. They're having a big issue right now, and this was in, I think, defense news, but the missile production and I guess you'd call it defensive and offensive ordnance production in the United States right now, I was reading that they're backlogged on contract production up to 10 or 12 years. So they're saying right now that if they work at pretty much peak output, it would take 12 years to fill, for example, in 2022, around since the Russian invasion of Ukraine in 2022, we've gone through 50,000 rockets and missiles and projectiles. So they're way out on this, and as a matter of fact, they said that 10 to 12 years may actually be very optimistic. It might be more like 15 to 20. So when I look at these things, I see that they've got new defense tech startups that are trying to do, are trying to fill the gaps because these companies are so backlogged and so far behind and they're having trouble with help. To show you how hard up it is, they're now repurposing, automotive parts and fracking parts and everything else, U.S. parts, to produce this stuff because they can't get their hands on it. You know, they can't get, so I think there's some really odd challenges here. I think there's a, I don't know what you want to call it, but I think there's a, we're not being told the whole story. I mean, everybody, it's like, well, the pond is smooth and there's no, but actually there's a whole bunch of shortages and a whole bunch of issues going on there that are huge. And it's like some big secret, but you know, they're basically, imagine trying to build these high tech rocket motors and missiles and guidance systems using car parts and plumbing parts and stuff like that. That's what they're doing, you know. So I mean, right now that's where they're going. So it's kind of like, wow, there's some strange stuff going on here. But just throw that in there too. But we'll give it away to these people over here. Does this seem like some kind of signaling or some kind of an issue? I mean, to me it does. It's kind of like
As you were talking, Tim, I kind of started thinking about World War II and like wartime measures of where you saw, you know, pretty much all, you know, American manufacturing turned to a war effort, you know, and you had automobile manufacturers making tanks and that sort of thing. And I know it's a different animal altogether, but it does, when you're talking about something being signaled, I don't know what it is. I mean, what do you think it is? Desperation or I don't know.
Well, that's what I'm concerned about. I really am. I think, you know, well, we'll give it away because they don't want anybody to know that we can't even produce what we could produce. So the signal is let's just give it to them because they probably can't build it either because we can't get the materials. So if we give it away, then it's not our fault. There's all this demand because we gave it out here and we licensed it. And it's like an obscuring, it obscures what's actually going on there. I mean, I think that this is my concern about it. I mean, I know that we talked about this several weeks ago during the Ukraine thing and the Iran and everything. The fact that they were pulling missiles out of Taiwan. Taiwan is now exposed with China due to the fact of there's just a lot of things going on all over the place that to me show a weakening of it, you know. So a weakening of our front, and I don't like to say that out loud. I mean, that's not what I'm after, but anyhow, that was just my throw in there for whatever. I thought it was, there's something going on here that's not quite right.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree 100%.
Along those lines, and this is really, I mean, we're bouncing around the room here. So have you guys, where y'all are, you know, whether it's Colorado or Nebraska or me down here in Texas, have you seen any shortages of ammo on the shelves? Now, I know a lot of us are in good shape when it comes to ammo, but I don't know about you guys. If I walk into a Walmart or a hardware store or whatever, I always look at the ammo selection. And I just, have y'all seen any ammo shortages?
I have not here. I do the same thing. I mean, I've checked on, The only thing that I've seen that noticed that, you know, sells out is something that, might be on sale or something like that, but I have not. How about you?
Okay. Not here either. And I haven't read about anything. And, I was just curious because typically, you know, and it's, I guess it's a different kind of war, but typically whenever you see like what we just experienced in Iran and that sort of thing, there's usually a crunch on ammo that happens. And I haven't seen any of that. And if you guys go back in memory and think about the last 20 years, whenever you see a spin-up of some kind of military action, usually within about 6 months, you start seeing a little bit of a shortage, and I haven't seen anything.
No, I haven't either.
No. If anything, it's definitely, from the last time, I think it's gotten better. I don't know. I mean, prices have been decent. So, compared
I agree.
So,
yeah. No, I agree. I agree completely. And, you know, we've talked about it. And typically, all of these companies, it doesn't matter if it's DCI or Winchester or whoever it is, you know, they all have War Department contracts. And anytime that they start dropping bombs, you know, or mortars or whatever, typically there's a production gets diverted in these factories, and they start using that for other purposes. And you see a shortage in the retail space. And I just haven't seen that. And I started thinking about that, I think yesterday, thinking, I'm not saying there wasn't a war in Iran. I'm not saying any of that, but it sure seems different this time, that it just isn't affecting us like it normally did.
It's a good point, really. I mean, yeah. Kind of a wag that makes the guy wonder about the wag the dog moment. I think that's what we call it usually. Like how.
That's
how
what I was thinking, Tim.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, for sure.
That's a really good point. Yeah. That's something to think about. Yeah. I feel like a lot of this, there's just so many things going on all around the world. And one of the things that, the food, I just read an article, and this isn't on our list, but it's just talking about, well, I'm going to leave that to when we go in the home side, you know, back over here local. But I did see where, and somebody put this link up there, but Germany accuses the Ukrainian state of ordering the 2022 Nord Stream attack. And we talked about that when it happened, that it was very possibly a false flag, you know, or whatever. And Germany's done some pretty heavy duty, what do you want to call it, investigations into that. And they've kind of come to the same conclusion. So it sounds like they're kind of blaming Ukraine for blowing that up.
Well, the real victim of that was Germany. I mean, because that was the pipeline that fueled their energy, you know, and so that's why they were so heavy wanting to get to the bottom of this. And but yeah, like you said, it I don't think there's any fingers, at least on Germany's part, I don't think there's any fingers pointing toward Russia anymore. I think it's all Ukraine. I think they've even identified somebody, hadn't they, Tim, as far as the actual.
There was a female diver who supposedly they identified as having planted that, if I remember what I read right, a Ukrainian diver. I think her name was Kretsnitsov or something like that. And talk about hurting everybody to get what you want. I mean, there's the whole thing's. And the other thing about all these weapons being put out there, isn't that not like bear baiting Russia? I mean, doesn't that occur to you guys too? I mean, it's like, let's see what I'm supposed to just, if I'm Russia, just, you know, I'm supposed to just let you put all of these things in place and do nothing, you know, like, okay, we'll just sit back here and wait for you to get online, you know? I mean, doesn't that kind of bear bait them into a preemptive situation to some degree? I mean, speaking of it.
Not only that, but, I mean, we can go back and look not too long ago, you know, 3-4 decades ago. I think what it also does is, you know, don't forget, Russia has a pretty robust military-industrial complex as well. And if I was Russia and I saw the United States doing this, I'm just going to turn around and do it as well. And I'm going to start, you know, selling missiles and technology and whatever else to whomever is the highest bidder. And hopefully, you know, it's not, I just think it opens up the door to the same behavior from Russia. And we saw that happen, you know, in the 60s and 70s and 80s. And, you know, you go into like continental Africa and every little dictatorship was just overran with Russian munitions and rocket launchers and AK-47s. And why would they not do the exact same thing now? You know, if America's doing it and China's doing it, why wouldn't they do it? So I think we may end up seeing something like that, Tim. What do you think?
Well, and I agree, and I think you can even locate this back to a real common, a real frequent occurrence. That's the fact that, oh, yeah, let's see, the Israelis attacked Iran because supposedly they were going to get a nuclear bomb, so they preemptively attacked them. You know, so
right.
that was okay, you know, according to – I just think the whole thing's, you know, it's like this is – this posturing or this this kind of stuff, it's not going to work out. It's not going to play well. So, anyway, that's just my thought.
Well, I don't know if you saw, and it's got to be true because it came from the Jerusalem Post. the nuclear conversation has kind of taken a back burner because now Netanyahu is saying, I don't know about the nuclear, but Iran definitely has chemical weapons. Definitely has chemical weapons, and they're going to use them.
Oh, that old
chestnut. Right. Drag that up. You know, too bad Colin Powell's dead. You know, we could drag him back out, and he could say the exactly what got us into that Iraq war in 2003. And you know, they said this about Assad in Syria, Bashar al-Assad, you know, that he's got chemical weapons and he's using them against his own people and all of that. So, yeah, now the Jews are saying Iran has chemical weapons. And so I'm sure that's going to be the next, you know, we can't have that. So I don't know. It's just crazy. And I go back because I always say this. I had some pretty good firsthand information, you know, 20 plus years ago of Iraq did have chemical weapons, and every canister said United States on them.
Yeah, we gave them to them.
We gave it to them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we gave it to them, you know. And there's a very good chance that Iran – oh, by the way, Syria had chemical weapons as well because we moved – the chemical weapons from Iraq into Syria prior to the invasion in 2003. So I just wanted to throw that out there as well. But Iran may have chemical weapons, and it's probably written in Hebrew or it says property of the United States on them. I mean, I really believe that. Just be mindful of that. I think that's a new narrative that's starting to get painted, that they have chemical weapons and they're going to use them against their own people. I guarantee you they'll end up saying that.
Exactly. Well, I mean, when I saw that, I mean, it was that's it. Same thought that I had. It's like, okay, what this nuclear thing isn't sticking now. And supposedly, I guess, is what they're saying is we destroyed it with the Roaring Lion. Operation Roaring Lion made Iran lose their capabilities to produce nuclear weapons. So now they're on to the new narrative is the chemical weapons.
There's lying going on there.
Yeah. That's for darn sure.
Yeah, it may not be Operation Boring Lion. Now we're having Operation Massive Lion. You know,
that's right. Yeah.
I think that it's like, so which would you protect more, you know, with how much protection would those have, chemical weapons or nuclear weapons? Given the massive amount of collateral damage that was caused over there in Iran, it's reasonable to assume that probably more than just the infrastructure for nuclear quote-unquote weapons was destroyed, right? But no, yeah, so it's, to me, the whole thing crazy. It's like every country in the world has chemical weapons.
Every drugstore in America has chemical weapons. You could just go into the hardware store and make chemical weapons. I mean, it's not that.
Yeah,
you understand what I'm saying is like just a boogeyman argument is all that it is. But, you know, you bring up the Roaring Lion thing and what you were saying, Tim, is my common sense tells me if I put enough ordnance downrange that I drop on these facilities where the incendiary devices and, you know, bunker busters, where I'm able to destroy the nuclear capabilities of a country, why wouldn't we just do that with the chemical arsenals as well?
Yeah.
Why, you know, it seems to me that that's not, if you can do it on the nuclear side, you can do it on the chemical side. But I really do believe we're going to see boots on the ground. I think that's what this is setting up for and what it's been setting up for the entire time. I'll predict we'll see the same old tired footage that we saw in Iraq and Syria, probably the exact same footage of hospitals under chemical attack and all that sort of stuff that the Iranians are doing to their people. And it's just going to be a false flag. It's not true. But the Jews love doing that. Israel loves doing that. They love showing those photos of those babies that are being burned up by these chemical munitions and that sort of thing. And in my opinion, they're probably just taking their own footage from like Gaza and saying this is happening in Iran.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and they definitely don't. The whole thing is, it's all political and it's theater. You know, I mean, that's yeah. There's just, he's out there. I mean, I have little doubt in my mind that this recent attack in the Strait of Hormuz of these other ships that has reignited the Iranian conflict over there, or whatever you want to call it, were false flags, just like the Liberty was, really. I mean, you know, it was. I would be surprised. I don't have any firsthand knowledge, but I'd be surprised if that was an Iranian attack. Because who was it that didn't want any cessation of hostilities over there? So, mm-hmm. And this is just one way they could get it, short of blowing up towers. I mean, it's a simple way to get it versus some of the other methods they could have used.
Well, I mean, and like you said, Tim, there's long history. You mentioned the Liberty, but don't forget the Gulf of Tonkin incident that drug us into Vietnam, and the Lusitania, you know, in World War One when they supposedly torpedoed that ship. And so, I mean, there's long history of this type of false flag event. So, I mean, it was only a matter of time, and I think that's what's going on. But yeah, I'll circle back just because before we get out of world stuff, of one of the things that we didn't touch on, we were talking about the Tomahawk missiles in Germany, is don't forget for the last 18 months, you have Germany and France and, you know, these mainland European countries that are prepping for a European war. You know, and that European war is with Russia. I mean, that is. That is what the emphasis on getting ready for a wartime footing is all about. And if you're Russia, I mean, you're going to see the United States arming up, you know, Germany, which is an antagonist towards Russia. That probably isn't good for diplomacy, that, you know, you have a default enemy arming up someone who wants to be your enemy. I mean, that just seems like sides being taken, and Russia probably has to view it as that. Just the thought on that is, don't forget, I mean, if you're looking at the timeline that Europe has told us with Germany and France, I think it's spring of next year, right? That was kind of what they were saying, is, you know, the hospitals need to be ready and the citizens need to be ready for a wartime footing like what our grandfathers experienced. And they were talking about springtime next year. So this may be the precursor to all of that.
Yeah, good point.
Absolutely.
What's going on with this a Mexican president that's making all this noise about
Well, she's still Jewish.
Yeah, the Jewish Mexican president.
Cracks me up every time I want to say like Flores or Hernandez or Geary or something like that, but no, President Sheinbaum from Mexico. Sheinbaum from Mexico. So in Houston, this kind of is going to bridge the gap, I guess, between the national news and world news. Houston, this week, there's an area of Houston, Magnolia State, that area. It's, if you drive through there, you might as well be in Matamoros, Mexico. I mean, it's, for probably 4 or 5 decades, it's where all of the illegals that stay in, you know, the Houston area, they kind of gravitate towards that area. And, so ICE, interestingly enough, ICE is really starting to spin up again, and there's quite a bit of activity going on with ICE right now. They were in Houston and they were knocking people down left and right as far as snatching up illegals and getting them over into the Conroe area to start the deportation process. Well, this guy, he got himself shot, and he got himself shot and killed because he was attempting to evade from the ICE guys. And there's video out there, there's cell phone video out there, and there's a debate. Regardless, the ICE agent on the ground, one of the ICE agents felt that his life or another ICE agent's life was in jeopardy, and they shot and killed this driver. And the guy had been in the United States for about 35 years. He's an illegal alien. He never had permission to be here. However, he set up a life in America and had children here that are supposedly citizens now and that sort of thing. And there is a lot of this weekend, as a matter of fact, I was going to bring it up, but I'll bring it up now. There's some protests going on in Houston this morning or this afternoon. And I don't think we'll get to a Minnesota level protest, and I'll be fair with you guys, and it's going to sound kind of like there's some swagger, but this is Texas. It's not Minnesota. I just don't think it'll be allowed to happen, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. But so Sheinbaum, this Mexican Jewish president, came and said that she is going to take legal action against the ICE agent who murdered this Mexican citizen. That's the gist of it, Jason. Without any kind of investigation or anything like that, she's saying that ICE murdered this Mexican citizen and they are going to take legal action against them. Now, I have a couple thoughts on that. Was good luck. That was number one. Number two was you have all of these Mexican nationals that are in the United States, all of them. And I mean, there's millions of them inside the United States. And these are people that aren't loyal to the United States. You know, I can't comment about where you guys are at, but I know it's very common where I'm at to drive around and you see Mexican flags flying in people's yards. They're not flying the American flag. They're not flying the Confederate flag. They're not flying the Texas flag. They're flying the Mexican flag. Their loyalties are not to our nation. Their loyalty is to their nation because they're Mexicans. So if you have the Mexican president coming out and saying that American federal law enforcement murdered this Mexican national for being Mexican, how do you think these people that are residing here are going to start viewing ICE? Do you think that's going to fan the flame or calm things?
Right.
And so that's how I think there's starting to be a narrative on this, because I think they're going to start fanning that flame of ICE's murdering our citizens. And I don't think that. I mean, I don't. I've watched the video, and I don't know if you guys got a chance to watch it or not. The big thing that I want to put out there, and I know we've talked about it, but I'm going to say it again. When you're watching this stuff with these cops or whatever, remember, the same thing would apply to us. If we're armchair quarterbacking them, we weren't there at the time, and we don't know the amount of jeopardy they felt at the time that they were in. And it's the reasonable person or the prudent man doctrine, and it's kind of the basis of of justified use of force. So I know Tim and Will and Jason, all three of us in the same situation may react differently. I don't want to jump out there and say what the guy did was right or wrong. All I can say is at that time he felt like he needed to use deadly force to protect himself and to protect those that were around him. And that's all I want to say is I'll let whoever decide if it was good or bad, but I would want the same afforded to me or afforded to you, Tim, or whoever, if we had to do that. It's with what we thought at the time. Go ahead, Tim. I know you can probably speak to it better.
Well, I think you did a great job. I just think that the standard of the burden of proof or the standard of proof is also mitigated by the fact he's an illegal. I mean, you know, there are certain guarantees and protections afforded to the citizens of these United States. And those are, we know them, our listeners know them. But when a person is what you want to do is boil it down to its base fact. I don't care whether he'd been here 35 years or not. There's no statute of limitations on that kind of stuff. He doesn't have the same right that we do, and he shouldn't have. I mean, you go over there to Mexico and try that crap and see how it works out. You're not allowed to own land over there. You're not allowed to do anything else if you're a illegal alien in Mexico. They want an independent probe. The family did after this officer fatally shoots this man. He was an illegal alien. I'm not even sure you owe that situation an independent probe or the funds or the time. I mean, it's like, no, we were trying to remove him. He didn't want to be removed. We felt threat eliminated, and I feel I'm sorry for the family. I know they're in pain. I get that. But if you jump in front of a Greyhound bus, you can investigate it all day long, and it's still going to flatten you. That's just the way that works. That's the nature of the situation and of physics and of God's immutable laws. But that's, to me, that's the way I look at this. I think that you either want to get them out or you're going to just turn a blind eye and not do it. And sometimes in the heat of the moment, like you said, I don't know how those men felt. I don't know how I would have responded. I wasn't there. But the situation evolved in a way that the guy ended up getting shot. Well, better him mm-hmm. than them, So, and there was some information in there about him ramming he rammed one of their cars or something like that.
Yep.
And I saw it a couple of places. Well, he was scared that they were going to steal his tools. And it's like, when do you see white guys go into Mexicanville and try to steal tools?
Yeah, that happens all the time.
Right.
All the time, Jason. You bring up a point because, the people listening to us, if you're going to listen to whatever mainstream news, you're going to see this guy's just a model father and he has these children and he's just a pillar of society. So this guy's been here for 35 years. Like Tim was saying, there's no statute of limitations. If you want to look at it this way, ever since he's been here, he's broken the law. Every day that he's here, he breaks the law because he doesn't have permission to be here. So for the last 12,775 days, this guy's been a criminal inside the United States, right? So, but not only is he a criminal, multiply that out by a couple of dozen, because this guy is a construction guy. I can't tell you if he's a roofer or what he is, but it is coming out that he only employs other illegals.
Yeah,
and right. So it's exponential now. So there's a couple of dozen guys working on his crews that are all illegals. They're not paying taxes. They're not being contributors to our American society, and they're all breaking the law as well. So not only is he breaking the law. He's not doing anything now. But not only was he breaking the law, he was contributing a couple of dozen times over to others breaking the law and making use of our system. And it is my understanding right now, and it's pretty good information that's not in the news, they were looking for this guy. And it's being said that he was at the target, that they were looking for somebody else that had a warrant. And I'm hearing that they were looking for him because he I don't want to really use a ringleader or whatever, but he was a guy that facilitated a lot of this illegal activity in this community in Houston, dealing with these illegal aliens and harboring them. What I heard was the guy owned some flop houses, like rent houses, but it wasn't like a rent house that you would own or I would own. It was a rent house where there was 8 or 10 guys that are all illegal aliens that are staying in because they're all indentured servants working for this guy because he had it worked out where they were fresh across the border in the country, and he was giving them harbor and refuge and putting them to work as laborers and paying them next to nothing and then taking money off the top of that as rent. And so when you hear that this is this model guy trying to live the American dream, and I think his son said he was contributing to the American dream of dozens of men that are just trying to make a better life for themselves or whatever, I'm going to call it like it is. The guy was running slaves.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly
what he was doing. He's just human trafficking is what he's doing. And I think that's why ICE was looking at this guy, was because through their investigation, they found out this guy's kind of completing the last cycle of human trafficking into the Houston area, and he's giving them a place to sleep. He's feeding them, and he is profiting off of the illegal alien labor. And so he's not a model citizen. He's not a citizen at all. He's not a model human being. Well, so I don't really have any heartache over this. I hope President Sheinbaum decides to invade him. I hope she gets so mad that she decides to send the Mexican National Guard across the border. We can only be so lucky.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. We got a caller on the line. Let's go to the phone lines. Hello, caller.
Hey, Jason.
Hey, Warren.
Yeah, I'm not listening into the Coffee with the Wranglers this morning, but I was just looking in the Septuagint Bible and stuff, and you know, last weekend was the big hoorah of you know, of our nation's 250th birthday. But I see in the Septuagint Bible that Charles Thompson, you know, he was Secretary of the Council of Continental Congress of the United States. Translated the Septuagint Bible in 1774, so that was, you know, 2 years before we became a nation. I just wanted to thank the Lord for that Bible and then Charles Thompson.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, and that Thompson Septuagint is a good Bible translation. I've used that quite a bit.
I bet yep. Peter's did. You know, so I was just looking at, you know, about the second page into it, and it says that, you know. So I was just wanted to, you know.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
You know, I don't think it's a coincidence that that was written 2 years before we became a nation.
No, I don't think so either. Interesting.
Okay, well, God bless you.
God bless. Thanks for calling. Well, we are just about to take a break. Let's go back to you, Tim. I think you weren't finished there, were you?
Well, the only thing I was going to say is I was just going to kind of do a little summary in the fact that he's definitely giving this guy who was shot by ICE was giving, you know, comfort to foreign enemies and aiding and abetting criminal activity. So, I mean, that's... isn't that kind of a foreign actors not in uniform? Isn't that kind of the same thing as treason or as, you know, there's those rules are different. I mean, that's an act of war, you know, basically. So, yeah, it kind of sums up a little different than being a citizen. totally different, set of rules.
Yeah.
That's all I was going to throw out there.
It's invasion.
There you go.
We're going to go ahead and take a break real quick. We're at the top of the hour. We'll be right back right after this. Stay tuned, folks.
Song for all of you liberals who believe your ways are best, who don't mind overcrowding this nation with a swarm of foreign immigrants, who don't care about the population, who don't care if it's foul on our nest. When are you ever gonna read the writing upon the wall? We got crime overtaking our cities. We got gangs taking over our streets. We keep handing out more and more welfare, though it never seems to meet their needs. What kind of culture are we cultivating? One where you never have to pull any weeds. If we don't stop this immigration, this great nation's gonna fall. Let's get a grip on immigration in these great United States. It's high time that we limit their numbers. It's high time that we close up that gate. Now can't you see how we are rapidly becoming another third world fascist state? Let's get a grip on immigration in these great United States. How can we ever come to any solution when all we ever do is debate? We've got to get a tighter grip on our borders. We've got to seriously legislate and quit trying to fan the flame that I'm a racist and quit trying to fabricate that I hate. And get a grip on immigration. Now you know it's not too late. Let's get a grip on immigration in these great United States. It's high time that we limit their numbers. It's high time we start closing that gate and quit trying to fan the flame that I'm a racist and quit trying to fabricate that I hate and get a grip on immigration in these great United States. Let's get a grip on immigration. Now you know it's not too late. It's high time that we limit their numbers. It's high time that we close up that gate. Can't you see how we are rapidly becoming another third world fascist police state? Let's get a grip on immigration in these great United States and quit trying to fan the flame that I'm a racist and quit trying to fabricate that I hate and get a grip on the immigration in these great United States.
And we're back. Well, guys, where do you want to go next?
Oh, we can go a little closer.
We were talking. Go ahead, Tim.
Go ahead, Will. I just said we can go a little closer. We're on the illegal aliens. We got, somebody from Guyana firebombing churches in New York, right? So
yeah,
that's what I was going to bring up,
Heard about that.
Did you hear what churches it was? I couldn't find out. Oh, what the
I did.
Were. Okay.
Yeah, one of them was a Jehovah's Witness, whatever they call it. What do they call it? Kingdom Hall of a Jehovah's Witness. And the other was a Spanish Baptist Church, Spanish language Baptist Church, and he firebombed both of them. I don't think anybody was hurt or killed or anything like that. As a matter of fact, I think it might have been overnight. This guy, I don't know a lot about Guyana at all, but looking at him, he looks Middle Eastern. And his name is, it seemed Middle Eastern as well. Yogesh Sirang. I don't know how you pronounce that. But, he's an illegal alien in New York City running around from Guyana. And, I kind of tried to do a little research on this. It may surprise you, or it may not surprise you, that this is not the first time this guy has ran afoul of the law in New York City. He is a repeat customer of NYPD, and most recently he was arrested for attacking another person with an axe and a knife. But he wasn't in jail. They released him after he attacked this person with a knife and an axe. And then he went and firebombed another building a few weeks ago, but he was still out on the street, and he burned down these two churches. So I don't know. Guy seemed hell-bent to cause mayhem in New York City. But I really don't know a lot about Guyana. Do y'all know anything about Guyana?
No.
I don't know anything about it.
I know there was a big – that Jones incident. Was French Guyana? I don't know if that's different, but
I think it's the same.
Yeah. And I'm a little behind on some of my Central American places. But,
yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. I did think it was interesting that allegedly he told investigators about a separate bombing of a deli. I don't know that he was arrested for that one, but he said, they're Muslim scum and terrorists. So does that make him anti-Muslim? He was wearing a Guy Fawkes mask while he was doing some of it. I mean, a little bit of confusion there for me on what was going on, but
I don't know. I tried to find out how long this guy had been in the country, and I couldn't, you know, I couldn't find any news story anywhere, whether it was a year, 10 years, 20 years, I don't know, but, you know, it seems like the guy's a lunatic, but that just made me think, you know, you remember when Trump was telling us, and rightfully so, you know, he was talking about Venezuela and some of these other countries that, hey, they've opened up their insane asylums and their prisons and they've sent them here. That was what I thought of when I started, you know, I looked at this guy first off. He looks like
somebody that needs to be in an insane asylum, that's for sure.
True. Yeah. He looks like somebody who needs to come across those ICE agents in Houston.
Yeah, I had no doubt.
Yeah. I think this isn't for fear's sake or anything, but how I sit around and think is, okay, this is one guy in New York City. How many more of these guys are out there?
Yeah, good point. Yeah.
You know, how many more of them are out there? You know, it's easy to get lost in New York City. It's such a big populated area, but I started thinking about it, and I haven't really found the numbers. But I just wonder, really, what would our crime statistics look like if tomorrow there were none of these guys present in the United States? If tomorrow we were able to wave a wand and every illegal alien just disappeared and took their children with them, all their little anchor babies and all of their dreamers and all of that, and they just went away, what do you think our crime statistics would look like?
They'd probably drop a lot. Yeah, no doubt. So
I think so, too. I think we would probably go back to, like, 1960s crime statistics. And don't get me wrong. I mean, there were areas of the country that were violent, and those were typically the black areas of the country, you know, Los Angeles, New York, Chicago, places like that. But when it was just kind of a white and black thing, I think, generally speaking, across this nation, the crime statistics were pretty low everywhere. But it sure seems like the influx of the last four decades of all of these foreign invaders, these racial strangers, are year over year over year, the crime statistics just, you know, it's you get people rejoice when the crime statistics don't go up. You know, you know, when they just stay the same, you know, people get happy. And I think about that as, what are you talking about? They're still outrageously high, and they just keep getting higher. And I mean, I'm preaching to the choir here, but you guys know, I mean, there's a direct correlation to why they're high and the amount of illegals we've had to come into this country. And I really, with this guy, Guyanese guy, I just started thinking about that of, if tomorrow all of these people left, what would we look like? And I think it would be a better place. I think there is a direct correlation to who is inhabiting our country and the quality of life that our people, the actual Americans, the people who have a right to this country, like you were talking about, Tim, with citizens. I think the quality of our life would go up through the roof very quickly.
Yeah. I don't know what the numbers are in the United States, but I know I seen something go by the other day, and I'm going from memory. So, you know, but the difference from like 2020 or right in there somewhere to 2026 for rape statistics in the UK, I mean, they had quadrupled or more between those 2 years. And they were basically, you know, tying that in with the illegal immigrant problem. So I would assume that would be similar across the board. And I think that, it would make a huge, huge difference, I'm sure. I mean, like, looking at this guy here, like you say, he's a crazy guy. It's kind of weird. Jehovah's Witness, a Kingdom Hall, and then a Baptist church, and then, you know, a deli that's run by Muslims and a smoke shop that's run by Muslims. It just kind of seems like he's just an equal opportunity hater all the way across the board. So, you know, it's like, that's kind of a no agenda type thing, evidently. But, and there's a lot of those, people that just serve their father, and they're simply out there for madness and mayhem and death and destruction. So that's, you can't deal with crazy people very, very easily, especially violent, crazy people. So,
yep.
This used to be a nice neighborhood until all those white people moved in, said no one ever.
I've seen one the other day that said, which one of the majority white populations in the world is the third world country? You know, So these are just inconvenient facts to those who promote melting pot philosophy. So,
along those lines, I was going to ask y'all if, you know, we're all, I guess, getting up there in age and we've lived our lives, but one time, have you heard one time the phrase black flight?
Good point.
I bet not. So, anyways.
Well, it was funny because I just typed into Google the phrase, there's too many white people in this neighborhood, and Google came back, said, this is an extremely rare phrase, never used.
Yeah.
That's hilarious, Jason. That's funny.
Even Google knows.
I bet you they'll have that one corrected here quickly. But
Jason, you single-handedly changed the algorithm this morning. Good job.
Wow.
So have y'all kept up with what is a crazy drama? So I'll ask you guys, you think Senator Mitch McConnell's alive?
I don't know, or is he hospitalized and just a vegetable? I don't.
I think he's alive, but not well. That's what it tells me.
Yes.
I don't think. So because they don't want to fill that seat. You know, I mean, so as long as he's alive, they don't have to fill that seat. I guess that's what I'm hearing. Is that
there's I mean, it's a lot of drama. I mean, it is a lot of drama coming through. I mean, I don't remember what day was it. Was it the 7th? I think it was July 7th. I guess EMS got called to his private residence for a cardiac arrest. There's video now of him, you know, coming out on a stretcher and getting put on an ambulance and not looking too good. And I guess that was the last sighting anybody has seen of Mitch McConnell. And I know the governor of Kentucky, which is, he's a senator out of Kentucky. The governor of Kentucky is wanting a proof of life. You know, he's wanting some kind of correspondence.
Yeah, he said just, he's like, hey, let's just get a video. Let's say, have him say a couple words. Let's hear something from him.
Yeah.
Wow. So.
Yep. And well, I don't think that's happened. Go ahead, Tim.
Well, I know he's had problems in the past with, like, freezing up on camera and different things like that, you know, like, during the course of speeches. And, I mean, he's 84 years old or something like that, 84. One of the few places in the United States where an 84-year-old guy can be trusted to make massive life-altering decisions for literally millions of people. I don't know that, you know, they treat you like everywhere else. When you're 60 or 65, you're treated like you're an outdated relic, but not in Congress or the Senate or in
that's right
political things. It's kind of a strange yardstick.
You know, he got elected in 1984. I mean, you think about that. I mean, that's almost my entire life.
How
do they magically stay in power that long? You know, that's the other thing. I mean, it's like, that's just wild. So,
and don't forget that he is married to a very, very powerful Chinese woman.
Yes.
I don't know if y'all know that. Her father, their family, I think I'm right. I think they are the largest shipping family. They're shipping magnate in all of communist China. Like they control the majority of the boats that leave China that go everywhere else in the world. And that's Mitch McConnell's wife, direct tied to the CCP.
Supposedly about the time that happened, she ran back off to China. She hasn't really been heard from, has she? I mean, last I knew.
She is still in China. I think she's still in China, Tim.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So they can't even contact her. She's kind of incognito. They can't contact her for any update on his situation either. That's really bizarre.
Yeah. That would make me think he's dead. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
There has been some of these Kentucky politicians, different representatives, you know, and it's just the Republican establishment coming out saying, oh, no, Mitch McConnell's fine. I talked to him today, and he's good. He's in good spirit. That one, there was a, I can't remember the one congressman's name that came out, or maybe he was a former congressman saying, no, I spoke to him, and he's fine. But there's still no proof of life. There's not a photo. There's not a video. There's not any of that. So Tom Massie, Representative Tom Massie, jumped on board a couple of days ago because all of these people were just putting out these tweets and these Facebook posts saying, oh, I spoke to Mitch McConnell and he's fine. So Tom Massie put one out as well. And get to remember, he's still the sitting congressman there until the end of the year. So this is what Tom Massie said. Tom Massie 2 days ago said, I spoke to Mitch McConnell for about 20 minutes this morning. He said we should end the war with Iran, quit giving aid to Israel, stop spying on Americans without a warrant. He's really sorry how my primary turned out.
Well, he's got a sense of humor, don't he? I like that guy.
Isn't I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's very interesting. Well, and his wife is, she was supposedly born in Taipei, Taiwan, to Washington parents who fled China as a result of the Chinese Civil War. But now, of course, she's a major player back in China again. The Chinese don't usually forgive those kind of defections, so that's strange. I mean, you know, but yeah, the fact she hasn't been back around, at least that I know of lately, is telling us something weird's going on. So
I agree.
And who does the governor appoint a new seat if he's incapacitated or
incapacitated? That is correct. Yeah, that is correct, Tim. That's why Andy Beshear, the governor of Kentucky, who's a Democrat, that's why he's working as hard as he. And I think what they actually do is call a special election. I'm going off memory, but I think the threshold is August 3rd, that they have till August 3rd to call that special election. So the rumor or the suggestion is they're just trying, those handlers of Mitch McConnell are just trying to wait it out till August 3rd. And then I don't know what happens after that. I don't know. I don't know what happens in that instance. If constitutionally speaking, within the state of Kentucky, I don't know what happens.
Yeah, I'm not for sure either. I mean, maybe at that point there's just an appointment made until the next election cycle or something like that. And
maybe that's
what they want to do, is appoint one of their, you know, cronies, or I don't know. But there's some strangeness there. So he's a pretty liberal. He's a pretty liberal guy anyway. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
Very much. He's the embodiment of an establishment Republican. You know, he. I don't know how real conservative the guy is at all.
Yeah. Well, from what I've seen over the years, definitely Rhino type. At the least,
yeah,
you know, and which the face they show you and the one they actually are, you never know up there. I mean, that's,
yeah,
I like the definition of DC, 50 square miles surrounded by reality. It's like, yeah, whatever, it's all just theater and politics, yeah,
yeah. Did you guys hear what do you know about? I don't know a whole bunch about it. I don't know any of the details, really, but I just caught the headline that, I guess, Israel, go figure, has shared some intelligence that Iran has a new plot to assassinate Trump. What do y'all know about that?
Convenient timing, don't you think?
Yeah.
Well, and my thought on that was, I seen a sign on one of the buildings in Iran that said, we are going to kill Trump or something along those lines from the Iranians. But on the other hand, why would that surprise anyone?
How many people have been killed over there? How many people has Trump killed over there? And
well, yeah. And yeah. Yeah. If you're bombing people and blowing their stuff up, I mean, don't you think that would kind of be just an outcome of that? I mean, I'm pretty sure you could say the same thing about any American in general. I mean, we're all lumped in together there, you know, we want to kill all Americans.
Tim, I'm old enough to remember. How about this? Here's a news flash. The Iranians said they were going to assassinate President Reagan.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Is it really that new? I mean, this has been going on for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. This doesn't, curiously timed intelligence. It's like, huh? I mean, calling that intelligence is like, wouldn't that be curiously timed common sense?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I would, that's a zero surprise sum to me.
It's like nobody has figured out that they're liars. That's what they do.
Yeah.
For their own gain. Maybe, you know, Trump is moving away from wanting to have some sort of kinetic war with Iran. So all of a sudden Israel says, but wait, they're going to kill you.
Yeah.
You know, like maybe.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing that I see here to my, it is curiously timed, right? Maybe it's the Israelis saying, if you don't do what we want, we'll false flag. We'll take care of it. You don't have to worry about Iran. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just a thought, pure speculation on my part. But if it's out there, then you can blame it on Iran, right? So, yeah, there's those kind of things going on. I mean, kind of back to the whole Charlie Kirk thing again, or anything like that. So.
Well, and it's not part of my notes or anything like that. The trial's going on this last week. Did you guys hear anything about any of the stuff that's going on taking place with that?
Supposedly,
I haven't kept up with it at all.
And he was sorry. You know, he indicated remorse, and he that's just what I read. You know, so I didn't see anything else on it, but yeah. Which I still want to know the hows and the whys and the wherefores, because I consider it physically impossible for that to have happened in the manner that they're portraying it.
Well, and that's what I did. We'll just talk on it real quick because I don't have very many notes in front of me or any notes in front of me. But, you know, they did say one of the things that was – it sounds like that investigation just went just as poor as could be. There was other cartridges found on loaded cartridges on other buildings. And, you know, the response was, you know, it wasn't cataloged or anything like that. It wasn't put into inventory. It wasn't considered a piece of evidence. And, you know, the response was, and I can't remember if it was an FBI director or one of the SWAT team members, but, you know, he said it was, well, it was one of the agents that we had there that, he ejected a shell when he was, loading his gun. And, I mean, just, there was one thing after another. And I mean, just the fact is they are still claiming that gun that he, got to the roof, he assembled that rifle, he shot Charlie Kirk, disassembled that rifle, got off the roof, went into the woods and decided to reassemble that rifle again. I mean, that's just impossible. And that couldn't have.
Yeah.
And they're still sticking to something that is, that we should, I mean, is just false.
Ludicrous.
Yeah. And they did come out and say, well, there was supposedly sightings of, you know, this guy with a, there was another lookalike and there was three guys seen together. And I mean, this stuff, but it's like, I mean, it's still, they're not, I don't know. I still just see the a huge cover up, and I'm trying to figure out who all is involved in it, because it seems like it's pretty broad.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and there seems to be a lot of weight given to the roommates' talk. You know, I mean, during the course of the trial, I've seen some of that, and they were talking about the things that his partner was, I think, was. Was he a, yeah, anyways, the whole thing's just, it's bizarre and disjointed, and there's not at all. I mean, just like them losing, it was just exactly like the ballistics on the thing. Oh, no, that wasn't the bullet that killed him, you know, and then a week later, oh, yeah, it was the bullet that killed him. We made a mistake. I mean, when you lose chain of evidence stuff and things like that, it's over with, you know. You don't have, It's mistrial or dismissal time. You can't, but evidently not in this case. So, go ahead.
If it goes along with normal jurisprudence, just the way the court system is supposed to work, and I'm not saying I'm a fan of the court system or anything like that, but if this trial proceeds, which it appears this judge is bought and paid for, or whatever way you want to look at it, and ultimately I think you're going to see a conviction of this Robinson kid. If there is not an immediate appeal based on the handling of the evidence, the like I said, the normal, what I would consider to be a good criminal investigation, because it's all faulty investigation. Going back, you know, if we talked about this right after, when they were releasing text messages, which is exculpatory evidence is what it's called. They're releasing the text messages, these damning text messages between the supposed shooter and his boyfriend. How are you going to get a fair trial if you put this out for everyone to read, this pivotal corner? All of these things. If this kid ends up getting convicted, which I think he will, if there's not an immediate appeal based on all of this faulty, shoddy criminal prosecution, and then the really miscarriage of jurisprudence amongst the judge and the court, I can't see this not getting overturned on appeal, and at least a new trial being ordered. It may be 2 years from now, it may be 3 years from now, but whether the court proceedings itself is just trash. This has just been a terrible, terrible prosecution on behalf of the state. It stinks to high heaven.
Yeah. Well, and I'm not even so sure that, in my mind's eye, at least, let's put it this way, this is my opinion, but the fact that he is a homo is also plays into the fact that it's probably, especially where he's at and in the state that he's in, is probably playing into the predisposition toward the fact that he's not liked automatically. You know what I'm trying to say?
Right.
It's not that I necessarily like that fact either. I mean, I don't. But the point is it creates a prejudice there that would do that. So it seems to me like there's a whole load of weight on that side of the coin, like it was tailor-made let's make it all go away.
Well, and one of the things that I thought was interesting, and we got a caller on the line. We'll get to the caller here in just a sec, but is Ben Shapiro. He's been coming out, and he came out about the same time that it came out in the trial that Charlie Kirk's security team was in contact with Ben Shapiro's security team before the shooting and during after the shooting took place, and why they were in the car supposedly headed to the hospital. So, he's never said that before, until it was coming out in the trial, and then he goes ahead and announces it. Why did he never say anything like that before? I mean, it's just
I know we got a caller, but I'll tell you this. If Kirk's team was talking to Shapiro's team, you might as well say they were talking to the Mossad.
Yeah, exactly. And that's who we had for security, from what I understood, too, if you want to have good security, you got to have Mossad. Well, let's go to the phone lines. Hello, caller.
Yeah, that security thing that didn't work out so well for Charlie.
No, it did not.
Yeah, and actually, I'm a couple of minutes late with what I was going to say. This is Harvey. So, hi, guys. Good to hear you.
Hey, Harvey.
That Mitch McConnell's wife, I think her name is Elaine Chao. But she is actually the former United States Secretary of Transportation. And she, here's their line, their storyline. It's she left for China a couple of days before he got sick, but he wasn't very sick, so it wasn't urgent for her to return home. So she went ahead and took care of her business there, which was a family matter, and now she's been home. She came back to the United States sometime this week that has just gone by. So, she's back. But I had forgotten, and when I heard it, then I thought, oh yeah, that's right. She was the U.S. Secretary of Transportation at some time. And I'm too old and forgetful to remember when. But where we'd been talking about her, I just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah. No, well, I appreciate it.
She was also, I think, the Secretary of Labor during George W. Bush's administration from 2001 to 2009. So
that could be. I don't know.
I think she was the Secretary of Transportation under old man Bush, and then she came back as Secretary of Labor under W.
Wow.
Lifetime criminal. Wow. Politician.
Well, yeah. You were right the first time. Okay, guys. Well, I just wanted to throw that in.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that.
God bless.
Bye.
Thank you, Harvey.
And, well, I guess I should give the phone number out. 970-224-4203 or... You can call in 307-745-5913 as well. Anyway, I don't know how we got off on the. I wasn't planning on getting off on the Charlie Kirk stuff, but taking place this weekend. It's just crazy.
I want to say this, and I just before we get off the Charlie Kirk thing, I want two things that'll never happen. We're never going to see it. I want to see that actual Mauser rifle. I want to see them test fire it as we were presented. So yeah. I want to see it with the scope the way it was mounted, the handle the way it was, you know, the bolt the way it was bent. I want to see that rifle successfully fire two shots, and it's not going to happen. I want to see it eject the shell. It just isn't going to happen. That's number one. Number two, have you noticed there has been a complete blackout? No one is talking about that plane that left.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
That is in the memory hole now, and it shouldn't be. And anybody listening, I know we probably don't have time, but yeah, just keyword search that. You know, mystery plane, Charlie Kirk assassination, and you'll be amazed. So that was it. I just want to throw that out there, Jason.
Yeah. No, I'm glad you did, because that was that's one of the things. We could have a whole show on this, but there was a lot of stuff that happened around that plane was definitely involved, in my opinion.
yep. There was something there that wasn't copacetic. Yeah. So, well, we talked about that. Well, like you say, we could do a whole show.
Well, we got about 20 minutes left. Let's move on. I saw this, South African sentenced to federal prison in the United States for being a secret foreign agent. So this black woman, a former South African Air Force Brigadier General, has been sentenced to 6 months in United States federal prison while working at one of the U.S. most sensitive national security research facilities. So you get, 6 months, that sounds like a slap on the wrist to me.
Remember when we executed people that were spies?
Treason.
First off, why is a black African military general working in the United States at Oak Ridge Nuclear Laboratories in Tennessee? Like, what kind of crazy DEI hire is that? Why does anybody think that's a good thing? First off. And it sounds like right after she got here, the South African embassy in Washington, D.C. gave her a laptop and a secured laptop, and she just started funneling secrets to South Africa. The real story here is this, in my opinion, and you're right, Jason, 6 months and a fine. I mean, that's crazy. I mean, there's no telling how much money she received. To do this spying. I also think they're going to deport her when she's done with prison. Big deal there. But South Africa, do you really think they are doing something with our nuclear secrets? Are they the pass-through country, and where are our nuclear secrets going?
I don't think that...
I think they're going to China. China is so big in South Africa as far as their money and influence. I think that's what it is. I think South Africa was just acting as the pass-through to whoever the highest bidder was. But, you know, here's a novel piece of advice to whoever that might be listening to us from the federal government. You probably shouldn't employ foreign military officers in sensitive military installations. Chances are they may become spies.
Yeah, I know. It just doesn't make any sense. Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyways.
I know. Yeah, and it was a plea agreement, so which we don't even have any idea how much was actually done, but it was one count, pleaded guilty to one count of acting as an agent without notifying the U.S. Attorney General. I mean, it's like, okay, so if she would have notified the U.S. Attorney General, then would it have been okay?
It makes you think that, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sure does. But I don't
know.
It
makes you think that.
Yeah.
She forgot to tell on herself. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. I mean, how does that go? Do you put it in writing? I just want to notify you I'm going to be stealing your state secrets.
Yeah. And I'm going to be stealing them, selling them, and I'm getting paid to do it. So just so you guys know.
I don't know.
Since they were stealing nuclear secrets, does that mean the Israelis are going to attack South Africa next? I mean, you know, because they're building a nuclear program.
Well, greater Israel, I'm sure. Somehow they have some claim to South Africa or something. I don't know. Good gracious. Don't give them any ideas, Jim. I know we're getting toward the end, but I was going to get Tim. Tim, tell me what's happening in South Dakota with all this suppressor deregulation.
Well, they've passed that in-state bill that's going to remove firearms suppressors from the list of controlled weapons, and it's the first bill in the United States like that. They're still regulated under federal law as far as registration and background checks, but all state penalties have been eliminated, and they will no longer actively seek or prosecute. Which basically means, I don't know, if you're, say, arrested for a secondary crime and you have a, you, they're not really going to report it. So it's kind of a state's rights. It's made it a grayer area, but still, it's the big step toward federal deregulation because, you know, we've talked about it before. The feds are actively, well, I don't know if the feds are, but at least the United States in general is moving toward total deregulation of hearing protection or suppressors, whatever you'd like to call them. They've made it a zero tax game now, and as far as there's no fee involved anymore or anything, and they're trying to get them off of the list completely, which I think would be great. But anyways, this is just a step in the right direction toward that. They're no longer calling it a quote unquote controlled weapon for the purposes of state enforcement, and it's like, it's just, I think, really what I think it is more than anything else is a signaling thing to the Fed that, hey, we're just not going to play this anymore. You know, we're getting tired of that. So it's ridiculous. And they try to make out like they're used in the commission of crimes and everything, but I'm unaware of any situation where there's been any kind of a violent crime committed as far as like robbery or theft or anything like that where a suppressor was implemented. I'm sure there are some out there that I'm unaware of, but it's not a common thing. But, you know, the Fed's kind of holdout is that, well, they're used in criminal activity. And it's like, really? that's kind of where that's going, I think.
Well, and I'm confused about some of this stuff because it just – I mean, you got federal regulations and you got state regulations. Like in Idaho, because I looked into this because I spent quite a bit of time up in Idaho, they passed a code 18-3315A, and it says it exempting items manufactured and kept within the state from federal oversight. Federal law still applies. So basically, they came out with this law, and a lot of people in Idaho just started building their own stuff. And is one of the things that they're supposed to do is stamp on it made in Idaho. And as long as it doesn't leave the state, it's state legally owned to have and to possess, but still on a federal level, it's not going to be. So, I mean, how does that work? I mean, if they really wanted to get you with something like that, they could. I mean, is all they'd have to do is call a federal agent, right? And
yes. My understanding is this is going back. I think the guy's name was Marbach. Do you guys remember when Montana passed their Firearms Freedom Act?
Yes.
I think it was under Obama. And my understanding on that was they're using the Interstate Commerce Clause as almost the defense of this, of if it doesn't leave the state it was made in, the feds have no purview over it. And the ATF, as far as the regulation, and you guys speak up and educate me because I may be wrong, their regulation is not necessarily intrastate as far as how it moves around in the state. It when it leaves the state from dealer to dealer. Am I wrong on that?
No, I think that's correct, yeah.
So. Oh, and so I think, Jason, that's the – I know going back, and the guy's name, his first name is escaping me now, but his last name was Marbach up in Montana. They wrote that legislation because they wanted the federal government to challenge them in court on this because they wanted a ruling saying if it doesn't leave the state, the ATF and the federal government has no purview over it. To my knowledge, the feds never challenged it in Montana. That has never been challenged. And I think we're going on probably, I don't know, 16, 15 years since that came across. And so I think what South Dakota is doing is 100% right. I think they're saying if it's made here and it stays here, your hands can't touch it.
Yeah. I think what's going on with these states, and there's Montana and Idaho and South Dakota and several of them, they're trying to muddy the waters enough to create a clarification function on the feds, saying, okay, yeah. And so far the feds not taking the bait. You know, they're like, we'll just let that one lay till we can't do anything else about it. But it's one of those situations there where we're seeing, They're saying keep your hands off our in-state stuff, and I mean, it's just like the Missouri bill, and I can't tell you which one it was, but you know that the state officials could help the federal officials carry out their duties if they were against state law, and if they did, they faced physical and personal liability for doing it if they're enforcement officers. And the Fed kind of came in. That was not in relationship to guns. It was just in relationship to a lot of other kind of a broad spectrum thing. But the Fed came in, and there's been quite a battle going on in the Supreme Court over that. I don't know if it's still over or not, but there's states' rights are an important thing. And, you know, it always amazes me that basically under our form of government, the Fed isn't given free gratis or free reign over everything across the country. As a matter of fact, they're told what they can do, and then they're told everything else is off limits. So
that's right.
And that's been the violation factor here through this whole thing. So money, military, and mail. That's pretty much in a nutshell the Fed's purview. Everything else is a no. That's state. So, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, just as a kind of a follow-up to what you're saying is, and you know, we've all heard the phrase, the silence is deafening. And I think the Fed silence on this, of whether it be Montana or Idaho or the Missouri, or and even now, you know, the South Dakota, these laws that the individual states are passing, the fact that the feds have not taken them up to challenge them, I think their silence is deafening. I think you know the answer. or should know the answer, and it is the feds don't want this litigated because they know they're on the losing end. And they want to keep up the charade that somehow they have the power, and they know that the courts would not side with them. So I think it's real, real positive stuff. Good for South Dakota. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what it's just it's weird because even in their writings, you know, they banned the state, or the state has passed a law and they've banned the federal oversight of the suppressors, but at the same time they say that the the ATF laws are still in effect. So it's like, okay, they're still in effect, but you're not allowed to enforce them. And you still have to fill out a Form 4 to get a suppressor. So I don't know. It's just, to me, it's just confusing.
Well, yeah, originally in South Dakota, it was a Class 6 felony over and above the federal law. They've totally removed
that.
So that was kind of now it's a nothing burger. I mean, you're still in it with the federal suit, but you know, you're not in it with the state as far as being the state regulation was actually more severe even than the federal. Not saying that the federal wasn't bad enough, but they basically took that off. So they stripped it away.
That's good. Now that if we could just get rid of the ATF, we'd be set.
Yeah, no kidding. Exactly. So, yeah, no law. Yeah. So,
when did the NFA come into existence?
Which part?
The machine gun and suppressor part. Did that come in at the same time?
Well, you had the 68 ban, but before that, in the 1930s, the exact year. Tim, you may remember, I don't remember, but during the gangster era with Al Capone and all of that, I don't remember if it was 36 or what year it was, you had some control start getting exercised there. And then obviously in 68 was when we saw the majority of what we have now. Tim, do you remember of
the National Firearms Act was originally enacted in 1934, I think.
Okay.
And that was certain types of firearms and fully automatic weapons, and silencers were thrown on there. And then really all they did was they didn't outlaw a lot of it. It was just tax, you know. So, and always about the money to start with. Oh, we can make money off of that. So, yeah, I mean, prior to a lot of those, and I don't remember, you know, you used to be able to order, you could order rifles and shotguns and everything, even handguns out of the Montgomery Ward catalog, you know, and they would deliver them to your door. I mean, it was like pretty much no signature required, but in 1934, they started tight, and all they've done is, it was a noose regulation. They've continued to tighten the noose as they've gone along. So, that's kind of what I remember about it.
That 34 legislation really is what led up to the ATF. I think they initially parked that under Treasury, and what that really spurred into, and you're right about collecting the tax, Tim, but from my recollection of looking into this too, this was the first real push under, I guess it was Roosevelt probably, it was the first real push of cataloging gun ownership in the United States, of creating a list, so to speak, of trying to track people down, because you can't pay a tax if you don't know who's buying them, right? So it was the first attempt into really trying to figure out who's buying what and who has what, and it just sort of went from there. And, of course, the 68 Gun Control Act, we know what that did as far as really infringing on the Second Amendment, but either way, neither one of them are constitutional, in my opinion.
I don't think so either.
The ATF started in 1972, and to take it right. to take it back, you know, July 1st. I mean, what? It was this month. I just looked. But, and it was originally, the ATF was a division of the IRS. So, you know, to go back to the tax again, see, it was a money and enforcement issue. So, yeah. But, it was another power grab, money, power, and everything else. And, totally against everything that the forefathers intentioned or had in mind when they created this country. So, and anyways, yeah.
I just read this, and this was interesting. The $200 tax requirement was set in 1934, when $200 was roughly the equivalent to $5,000 today. I mean,
wow.
Mm-hmm.
You think about that.
That was a lot of money back then. Yeah. So basically, it prohibited most rank and file from owning them at that time. So yeah.
Yes. Yep. For sure.
Well, guys, we only got a couple minutes left.
Oh,
really? Wow, time flew.
I know.
That went by fast.
Well, what do you want to close out with?
You got a prepper tip of the week, Will?
Oh, I don't know about you guys. Down here, our gardens are playing out. It's consistently hot. We're making our last little bit of harvest, and I just know that one of the things that I was going to talk about is just food preservation. And it doesn't matter if you're canning like your grandmother or dehydrating or freeze drying or whatever. There's never a wrong time to get started in that sort of thing. And even if it's buying in bulk and putting it up for later, whether you're freezing it or canning it or whatever, it's probably a good idea to start looking into that. If you haven't done it, you know, there's good resources out there online. You can go to your extension service online through your state, and they typically have a canning and food preservation section that you can learn the safe way to do things. And go to a Goodwill bookstore or something like that and find an old blue ball blue book on canning. I know we're getting ready to turn a bunch of tomatoes into salsa here probably today. So it's easy to get caught up in all the bad things going on in the world and wringing our hands and all of that. But you'd be surprised, and I this is really the part that I wanted to say is getting back to the basics, returning back to our roots, and just doing something simple like putting your own food up for later. It's therapeutic. It feels like you're doing something right because you are. And I highly recommend that. That's, I guess, my prepper tip of the week.
Good way to fight back.
Amen.
Absolutely.
I like it.
It's a good way to fight back. Yeah, it's a good way to fight back. You know, and I just put on top of that, too, is we don't know what is in our food. We don't know what these dadgum mass-produced, bioengineered chemicals that are in the food, the canned food. You know, you used to be able to get a can of green beans off the store shelf, and it just said green beans and water and salt, right? And now there's a list of stuff that you have to have a chemistry degree to decipher. It is a way to control what's going inside you. If, you know, you're picking the ingredients that you're canning this food with, and I know I was taught at a very young age, garbage in, garbage out. You know, if you're putting garbage in your body, you're going to feel like garbage. If you feel like garbage, you're going to act like garbage. And that's not God's plan for our life. So kind of getting back to the basics is putting good stuff back in your body. And you do that, at least in part, by doing it yourself. And I really do highly recommend that. And if you haven't grown a garden, if you haven't started that yet, it's probably a little too late, but that doesn't mean you can't go to farmers markets. That don't mean you can't make good decisions at the supermarket and try to get the best ingredients you can. And just whipping up a batch of salsa, it's really not hard. It really isn't hard, and it's going to taste so much better than the joy flop that you buy from the grocery store. So, if you got some time and you're so inclined, I highly recommend it.
Absolutely.
Sounds good. We're out of time, guys. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Through faith
in God we hold these truths to be.